As we look at 2012, many of us are still facing recession, high unemployment, and a sluggish economy. Times are tough for almost everyone, including The Rock. In this three-part series, we'll discover how we can not only survive, but also thrive in the coming year. In order to navigate this area, first we must plot a course and set our bearings. We need to know where we have been, where we are, and where we are going. In this message, Pastor Bill Young will teach key principles on how to set a course for success by clarifying our vision and mission.
Again, welcome to The Rock. Welcome to 2012. Trust you're having a good year so far. We're having an interesting year. Hey, Casey. Long time no see, man. We're having an interesting year at the Youngs. We had Christmas, Faith Walkers, New Year's, Hanukkah. We didn't have Hanukkah, but you may have, but that's fine. I'm talking about me. My wife was throwing up on Christmas Day. We had a lot of sick. This is a year of throw up for us. I don't know about you, but there's been something going around. Because she was pretty sick Christmas morning, huddled up on the couch. And then at Faith Walkers, of course, Stephen, number two boy, 16-year-old, got so sick we had to take him to the hospital in Grand Junction, Colorado, to get 3 liters of IVs because he was throwing up and couldn't stop. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it was like I've never seen him look that sick. He just couldn't stop. And then about 4 days ago, Timothy got the same thing. He got so sick we had to take him to the emergency room to get more IVs. So the last 2 days, I've been sick. I haven't been throwing up yet, so just warning you guys in the front row, okay? If it's anything like what my kids had, then you don't want to be sitting there, all right? But I'm excited because, you know what? I need grace tonight. I haven't talked all day hoping to be able to be here and knowing I'd have to be here. Trusting God will get me through. And when we're weak, we're what? We're strong. And I trust that God's going to bless you tonight. And he's going to bless me. He's going to give grace. We are going to talk about, really, it's our state of the church. You know, on January 24th, President Obama will give a state of the union. And tonight, we get the state of the church. Every year for the last 11 years or so, we've kind of given a look back where we've been, where we're at, and where we're headed. And it's so appropriate here at the beginning of the year to do that. So we have a little three-week series we're inserting inside our Colossians series. And tonight, really, we're going to kick it off with just that. We're going to have a fun night of seeing where we've been, what God's done, even this past year, and even a little bit farther back, we'll look back, and where we're headed. And that's important, isn't it, as a church, especially if you're new with us. This will be a good time for you to kind of get an idea of who we are, what we're all about, our DNA, what makes us tick. And I want to tell you what it is. It's the gospel. It's just what Derek was saying. It is, we want to see people saved, we want to see them built up, and we want to see them sent out to do the same thing. Really, that's what we're all about. And we're going to do that again this year, amen? Amen. We're going to do that again this year. Now, it may look different, we may have different things, but that's our goal. And I just want to encourage you tonight. There's a verse in Psalms that says, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. Even though they were prepared, even though they had weapons, they turned back on the day of battle. Why? It says because they forgot what God had done. And tonight we're going to look back a little bit before we look forward to see what God has done in the past. And really, this idea of looking back and realizing where we're at and kind of pointing ahead, that's really, biblically, that's referring to vision. And that's what we're talking about, first of all, here in our state of the church, vision. Proverbs 29:18. I love this verse. It says, where there's no vision, the people what? They perish. Or in the NIV, it says they're unrestrained. Okay, not only have we been thrown up at our house a lot, we got a new puppy about 3 days ago. A little cockapoo. It's 7.5 pounds. It's so sweet and cute. But she's a puppy. And she can be unrestrained. But we're working really hard to train her. We're trying to bring her in. We got a vision to restrain her. Because if you let that puppy go, she's going to be in trouble. And we're going to be in trouble. Same thing with the church, where God wants us as individuals in the church. Do you know where you're going? Do we know where we're going? We do. We have a vision, and we will not be unrestrained. We will not perish. We have blessing ahead of us because we know where we're going. And I want to share that with you tonight. Remind you about that. So here's a few of my favorite quotes. Some of you have heard these over and over, but it's so good to be reminded at least once a year. The idea of vision Andy Stanley, he says it this way: vision is painting a picture of a preferred future. What should the future look like in Utah, in the United States, in the world, in our church? Think about that. That's what vision says. You know, this is what it should look like. This would be a preferred future of Utah. I see Utah being a Christian state. I do. That's my preferred future. It's a historic Christian faith right here in Utah. The whole state is transformed. I don't know if you have faith enough for that. I've been believing that for years. I believe it. And the Rock Church is going to be a part of that. And you're going to be a part of that. That's a preferred future. Jonathan Swift said, vision is the art of seeing things invisible. Again, speaking of vision, Willie Stone said, vision without a task is only a dream. A task without a vision is but a drudgery. But a vision with a task is a dream fulfilled. And that's what we have. And that's what we're going to set before you this year, as we have the last 12 years, is that we have a vision and we have a mission to accomplish that. We have the what and the how. And we're going to do that together. And again, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but we know God's got a plan for us. And we want to talk about that. Vision's so important. Coca-Cola has a great vision statement. It's refresh the world. That's what their vision statement is. And you know what? When they do surveys, they find out that, listen carefully, 91% of the Earth's population has heard of Coca-Cola. That is incomprehensible. 91% of every human being on this planet has heard of Coca-Cola. You know that only 59% have heard the name Jesus Christ? You know what? They have a vision to reach the world, and we have a vision to reach the world. We're on world conquest, our little part of it. We're doing it, obviously, with lots of other believers and lots of other churches that are preaching Christ, but we have our part to build our part of the wall, like Nehemiah, all right? So, let's see if we know what this is. The Rock's vision statement. See how you guys, how good you do on this. What is the Rock's vision statement? Don't say it yet. It starts with the word one, and then it has another word after that. Okay, you guys know what it is? Who knows it? Let's say it with me if you know it. Ready? One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. Okay, let's all say it really loud together. There it is on the screen. Ready? One life, louder, start over. Ready? One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. That's our vision statement. That's the what. That's the preferred future, is that we're going to reach the world, but how are we going to do it? One life at a time. The person sitting next to you, your neighbor, your coworker, you're going to bring them to Christ. You're going to train them and teach them, and we're going to help them, and we're going to go out and do it some more. And we're going to reach the world that way. And that's the only way it can be reached, through multiplication. So that's what we're going to do. Walt Disney had a great imagination, didn't he? Wouldn't you say? He had a great imagination, and he had a great vision, too. And there's a cool story that, I'm not going to keep saying this, but a lot of you have heard this. But when he obviously designed Disneyland and then designed Disney World in Florida. But before Disney World opened up, he died. And some of the staff were lamenting this fact before the grand opening of Disney World. And somebody said in a staff meeting, you know, it's so sad that Walt Disney wasn't here to see Disney World. And the creative director, Mike Vance, wisely said this, he did see it. That's why it's here. He did see it. That's why it's here. And you know, that's vision, seeing a preferred future. And that's what we have at the Rock Church. We have a vision to reach the world one life at a time. But there's a way to do it. The mission statement is really how. You break it down. And there's really three parts to our mission statement. I'll just put it up here because I want to hear it loud the first time. Okay. And it's not going. There we go. Okay. So let's say this together really loud. Okay. Help me say my voice. Ready? Win the lost, build the believer, and send the sanctified. That's the practical side of our how we're going to see our vision completed. The vision I think God's given to us is we're going to win the lost, we're going to build the believer, and we're going to send the sanctified. Think of it like an Oreo cookie, okay? The win the lost is the top cookie, the build the believer is in the middle, and the send the sanctified is the other cookie. All right? It's a great thing. Put a little milk on it, and you're awesome, okay? That's what we're going to do. Holy Spirit is a milk, I guess. So we're going to do that. We're going to win, build, and send. Win, build, send. That's how we're going to do it. And we believe God's called us to that. So Having those two things in mind, our vision and our mission is going to keep us on course for 2012 and for the rest of our lives. Amen? I mean, that's what we're given to. That's what we're given to this. This is what God's called us to. So tonight, here's what we want to look at. We're going to begin to honor God in 2012 by remembering what he's done in the past, by realizing what we're doing right now and what we're going to do in the future, all right? So let's go ahead and pray one more time. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, that you love us. Man, you love us. That you're for us. That it's all about you, Jesus. We want to acknowledge that tonight. It's so good to start 2012 just saying, this is, again, let's just hit the reset button. This is where we're at. This is where we're headed. This is where God's brought us from. Help us be encouraged by tonight. Help us understand what you have for us. Help us believe you for amazing things in 2012. I believe you want to do amazing things. I know people are going to get saved and baptized, Lord. I know that's going to happen. I pray that you would transform this state and this world. Just do something that makes us amazed this year, we pray. And give me grace tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. It's going here. Be praying. I'll get through this. God will get me through this. All right, number one, we're going to look at the past, present, future. We are encouraged by the past, just so you know that, okay? We're encouraged by the past because we have a mission, just like Jesus had one mission to seek and save that which is lost. It says that in Luke 19:10. That was his mission, to seek and save the lost. He didn't have a lot of other things on his plate. He wasn't starting schools and hospitals and all these things. Those are all good, and those are all from Christ, from the Spirit of Christ. But when he was on the earth, he said, I got one mission. You know what? We're going to seek and save the lost. People need to come to know Christ. And I want to tell you something. That's what I'm giving my life to. And I've just recently led a guy to Christ and at Rich's Bagels, like I lead most people to Christ, right? Rob led Rob to Christ at Rich's Bagels. And I told Rob, I told him the same thing I told you after I led you to Christ, is that I am here for this reason alone, to help people like Rob and these other guys that have led to Christ recently. I say, you know what? I'm here simply for you to help. You know, why did I come to Utah? To help you, to lead you to Christ. That's why I came. That's what God's called all of us to do. And here's the deal. Our mission, that's my mission, just like Jesus, to seek and save the lost. Everything else is peripheral. It truly is. Everything else is secondary to seeking and saving the lost. That's where it's got to start. And our mission, whatever your mission is, will drive what you do. See, if your mission is to make a lot of money, it will affect how you spend your hours tomorrow. If your mission is to just bring yourself personal gratification in the flesh, it will affect what you do tonight, won't it? If that's your mission in life, just to be as happy as you can be. My mission is to seek and save the lost. Our mission as a church, amen, is to seek and save the lost. We don't want anybody to go to hell. We want everyone to come to the knowledge of Christ. That's what we are all about. And we're not alone in this. You know, I love what Andy Stanley says. He says, we all end up somewhere in life. Some of us get there on purpose. Again, that's what a mission statement, that's what a mission does for you. It gets you somewhere on purpose, because otherwise we're just unrestrained. We're not pointing anywhere. We can just be spend a lot of energy but not getting anywhere. God says, I've got a mission for you. Seek and save the lost. This is one of my favorite stories of General William Booth of the Salvation Army as he stood before King Edward VII in 1904. He was receiving an award for helping the poor, and they were praising him. And the king looked at General Booth and said, General, tell me where you get your energy from. Where do you get your passion from? And this is what he told the king of England. What a great man of God. Here's what he said. He said, Your Majesty, some men's passion is for art. Some men's passion is for fame. My passion is for souls. My passion is for souls. That's what William Booth said. That's what we should be saying. We need to have a passion to see people saved. And as we look back in the past, it's good to remember that God has done amazing things. No question about it. I did this last year. I thought this was good. I looked at it and thought, I'm going to do this again. I took some old slides from 11 years ago, from the state of the church when we first started, my very first state of the church. I'm kind of a nerd that way. I keep all these files. And this was our first state. This was my welcome slide to our State of the Church 11 years ago. And you see, things haven't changed much. You can't see it on the screen, but at the very top there it says, one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. See, that's still our vision, and it will be. This is just kind of a look back a little bit, just that down memory lane for some of you that haven't been with us very long. You know, this church started in 1999 in my living room, and these were some of the highlights of those years. Youngs and McEnroys, they moved out. We have some information meetings. In those pictures, you can still see people that are hanging around. I just saw Suji. She's right there in the bottom right-hand corner. She's in the back here. She's still with us and serving God. And Kim is right there. Now she's married to Steele. And these people are with us at the very beginning. God gave us some awesome people, didn't he? God was faithful then. He'll be faithful then. We had our grand opening in October of 1999. I think I have some pictures of that. Here's some 2000 highlights. We got our first small groups, we call them fellowship teams. We had three small groups at that point. We had an outreach. We had our first Just Do It, where we gave away a bunch of stuff. You know, it's a small, young church when you're praising the fact that you got new chairs for the church. You know, that was one of our big highlights of the year. As a matter of fact, some of you back there are still sitting in those chairs that we bought a long time ago. Here was one of the charts. Charts and graphs were cool back even then, all right? And this was our first full year of ministry. We doubled that year. We went from 50 to over 100 that first year, and God was on the move. These are just some pictures. This was 1999 when we moved out. Top left-hand corner, there's Jeff Porter. Good old Jeff is helping me move. That's at my house in Loveland. He's putting stuff in the moving van to help us move out. All these guys were helping us move. Phil Hahn and his family. There's girls, you're here tonight. Emma, where are you at? Are you stand up right over there, Emma. Show how big you've gotten. There she is right there. Stand. I'm not going to move until you stand up, sister. So there she is right there. Little Emma and a bunch of others. Steven. Is that Steven in the Batman? Is that you? Yeah, it is. Stand up, Steven. Show them how big you've gotten, Batman. Yeah, that's right. So kids are getting bigger. 1999. This was our first service in my house. With the McEnroys. So I prepared a message and gave it to the McEnroys while our kids were downstairs. And I did that once. I said, this is, you know, I love you, but I'm not doing that again, okay, for two, three people, okay? We started going to churches. We visited churches, which was quite awesome, as a matter of fact. These were kind of our starting meetings. There's Mac in the upper right-hand corner to the left there. There's Jeannie and my wife, Kelsey back there. And we started small, but we started with the same mission and same vision. We wanted to see people saved, and we want to see them built up. And there's, you see Paige here in the bottom right-hand corner, and Suj, and Linda Sue, and I think that might be Isaac Squire right there. They're at the very beginning as well. We had our grand opening service in a sports center. It was the, what was the name of the sports center? It was Alta Canyon Sports Center, and we had 101 people come to our first grand opening. I think that's, if you counted the mirrors on the wall, we double counted there, so we had lots of people coming in. We baptized people in the hot tub at Alta Canyon or the swimming pool. We baptized lots of people there, and we put kids in racquetball courts. That was their Sunday school. We had racquetball courts because that's all they had. This was the core Colorado team, 30 people that eventually moved out by the year 2000. By the end of 2000, we had 30 saints that had moved out from Colorado to help plant this church along with all the saints that we were getting to know, and the people that were getting saved in our church. So that's in my front yard. Again, you can see a lot of people. There's the Porters. It's kind of fun to see. There's Nathan in the left-hand corner there next to Joseph and Sydney. And, there's all the Han kids. And it's kind of fun to look back. This is our last service in 2003 at Alta Canyon. We'd filled that place up, needed to find a new place. This was our first, well, not our first, but Mac. This is our first staff meeting or Christmas party when Mac had been recognized as a second full-time elder. Steele was just coming around at that point. By that point, his sister Paige and Suji were both on staff at the church. And so we've had, every year we've had Christmas parties since then. And this is the building we found in Sandy in 2003. It doesn't look like much now, does it? I mean, look at that. It was completely destroyed pipe. Water was running while we were taking these pictures. Two burst pipes were squirting in water in the whole building, and the owners didn't seem to care. They stood there and talked to us like, you know, don't you see there's water squirting? They didn't care. Everything was ruined. There was, you know, people left in a hurry. But God gave it to us at a cheap price, and that's where we're still meeting today. We've been on month to month lease for 8 years at that place. God has been faithful once again. And then we decided to plant this church downtown here in this building in 2003. Paige found this building, and this is what it looked like. There's Mac, and Mac and I built the stage, and there didn't have a lot of people at that point. So we had time. We fixed this place up, and then a bunch of you helped fix it up as well once we got going with it. The stage was against that wall where the sound booth is. That's what you're seeing there. We used to face this way, look in that direction. So we turned this into this and had over 250 people at our first service after we planted this church in 2003. And God has done a work here, obviously. Josh and Steele were appointed as elders in 2006. That was an exciting time. Again, this is just memory, looking back. 2007, we planted the Provo Church. Mac down there took his family. We had over 481 people come to that first service down in Provo. So it was an exciting night. And they're still in the same building there. 2009, we had our 10-year anniversary, which was so much fun. And so many people came. It was a blessing. How many of you were able to come to the 10-year anniversary? A bunch of you guys, yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of people here came. This is only one side of it. You turn, you got the same thing on the other side. It was just packed out with people. Let me go back. This is kind of fun because this band picture, what you see there, is that the old worship team was me playing drums, Phil Hahn playing guitar, Brenda Porter playing keyboards, Phil Hahn, yeah, there's Phil playing guitar, and yeah, that was pretty much it. We never had bass players, never had them. Couldn't find anybody to play bass. That night, we sang some worship songs at our 10-year anniversary. The Oldie Goldies were playing, and as we played, our kids came in and took over our instruments while we played. As the song progressed, you can see me kind of passing off the drums. We're both playing the drums at that point. So Stephen took over, and Nathan came in for Jeff, and we had the young generation come in and take over. And that's what needs to happen too, right? If we're going to reach this world, the young generation, the next generation needs to reach their generation. And we believe that. So that was kind of cool. So we're encouraged by the past. I think we're going to have... Is this where we can have a slideshow? Okay, so we're going to look at 2011. Look back at 2011. They put together a slideshow, and I trust God gave them grace because they've been fighting this slideshow all day long. It hasn't been compiling the right way, but I think they've got something to show you. This is just last year. We're going to catch up and look at the present real quickly here.
Streams of melody spill from my heart. Praise to the Holy One for who you are. Of melody spill from our hearts. Praise to the Holy One for who you are. So we will sing of your glory. Sing of your this is where I want to be. Push it all aside. Bring me to your throne of grace, this peace to find. But all I am, praise you, God. Your might, sing. your glory, sing of your might, sing of your mercy, sing of your life.
You know, there's obviously a lot of stuff that's happening there, but it wasn't just stuff. It was all done through the lens of when builds sin. All of it. That's what it's all about. All the things that we do are designed for our vision and our mission. That's what we do it for. And God did a lot, didn't he? It's hard to imagine all the stuff that he did looking back. It's like, did we do all that? Yeah, we did all that. And God's got more for us this year. So we're encouraged by the past, aren't we? Here's some highlights real quick, again, that you may have seen some of those up there. Just the past 36 months, just look back 3 years, we've had over 235 people come to know Christ that we know of by name. That's not the people that maybe got saved and didn't tell us, but by name, 235 salvations, over 181 baptisms in the last 36 months, which is, yeah, we can, if we're going to clap for anything, I think that'd be a good thing to clap for. God is good. So last year, we had close to 50 salvations, 35 baptisms last year. Again, our three services, close to 1,000 people attending. Marriage retreat, this is just looking back. We had our marriage retreat, remember that, in April? Our giving this year went from $821,000 to $890,000. That's a lot of money from you guys. And you know what? We need it to do what God's called us to do. With three locations, five services, we are still running pretty tight. We are running a tight ship, but God blessed this year. December, God blessed it for sure. Our Roots overall, just so you know, our Roots capital campaign, at this point, $1.39 million has come in. And our goal is 1.5, so amen. And we'll have more on that in just a little bit here. We have 149 recognized leaders in our churches right now. 149, that's incredible. That's something to be excited about as well. We had our Proverbs series. That was a long series, which was a blessing. Our Rock Solid, we had 16 couples complete our Rock Solid marriage class. We had our E11, Europe 11 mission trip and our Honduras mission trips, which, you know, that in and of itself, that could be the whole year right there. They were so good. Families and marriages changed. Our volunteer picnic, sex, drugs, and rock and roll series, we ended the year with that. And our new Alive album. I mean, these are just bullet points, but those are huge things that God did so that we could reach more people. Our mission to the city, our service project to the rescue mission, Road Home, the Just Do It, on and on. There's so many ways that you guys have blessed this community, and that blesses my heart. High school leadership training was in Utah this year. You saw some pictures there. Josh Whitney was hired full-time last year. What an amazing blessing for all of us. And again, our Faith Walkers Conference, our Faith Walkers Conference. So we've got a lot to be thankful for in the past. In the present, real briefly here, here's what we're about in the present. The same thing, Mark 8:35. Here's what Jesus said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. That's present tense. Losing it right now, that's present. God wants us corporately and individually to understand, this verse is saying we need to lay our lives down for what? For the gospel. To be willing to seek and save the lost. We're willing to give it up. And so many of you are willing to do that. I'm going to call you to 2012 to double your effort and say, I'm going to lay my life down for the gospel, for Jesus Christ. Because we don't know if we'll have another year. We don't know that. But this year, God wants us right now in the present to live our lives for the gospel. That's what we know for sure. And again, there's lots that God's doing in the present. I mean, people tell me stories all the time. I remember a guy stopped me right after worship 2011 last year. And again, this is just in the present. This is just one example. This happens all the time. But a guy kind of flagged me down as we were leaving. We were walking back to our car, and there was, you know, 700 to 1,000 Christians worshiping, and some guy kind of yells at him, hey, Bill, and I didn't recognize him. He had kind of spiky blonde hair, and he goes, I just want to tell you, and you can tell he wanted to say something. He said, I just want to let you know that I got saved at the Rock Church. And my life has changed, and my family's changed, and now I'm off drugs, and he's going on and on and on. And you know what? That is not an uncommon thing for me to hear in the present, that God is working in people's lives. He's working through your lives. God has a plan for us at the Rock, doesn't he? He has a plan. He wants to change lives in the present, and he's doing that. So in the present right now, we have some other things. God wants us to be a witness, doesn't he? He wants us to be a witness. That means to tell people about Jesus. I like that phrase. Someone said a non-witnessing Christian is a contradiction. Why wouldn't you tell somebody the good news about Jesus Christ? In Acts 1:8, it tells us that we're witnesses. We should always witness and sometimes use words, right? Our lives should be a witness. I like what D.L. Moody said when he was looking out the window in New York. He was in a hotel. He had a few people from England, some pastors that were coming over to watch his ministry because he was so successful here in the States. And they said, D.L. Moody, we just want to find out what makes you so successful. And he was looking out the window and he said, gentlemen, tell me what you see. So he's looking over Central Park and he said, what do you see? And some of the pastors said, oh, we see some ducks and we see some, a bench there and we see some water and some trees. And D.L. Moody began to cry. And the pastors looked at him and said, Mr. Moody, what's wrong? And this is what he said, if we could have the screen back up. D.L. Moody was quote, he said this. He said, I see countless thousands of souls that will one day spend eternity in hell if they do not find the Savior. So what was the reason for his success? Quote, success was he had a heart for souls. He had a heart to seek and save the lost. And in our present, that's what we have as well. In our present, you got to know God's doing amazing things right now. He is doing. Today, tonight, he will do amazing things. One of the things that we're still involved in is our Roots campaign. Obviously, we are in the process of paying off that land. It's not paid off yet. But we do believe that if we can get a building in Sandy, again, we're month to month there. If we can get a building there, it'll give us stability, legitimacy, and opportunity. And our goal is to have 20 services by the year 2020. That's a faith goal. And we believe that'll help us accomplish what God wants us to in this valley. So we're still shooting for that. This is kind of, we have purchased land. We're still paying that off. I think we have about $150,000 left to pay off in that land on a $1.4 million note. That's not too bad. We're really, really close. And we have to pay it off this year, and we will. So anyway, here's kind of an artist's rendition of what the first floor might look like on that piece of property. It's just south of 114 South on 7th East in Draper, just over the border into Draper behind the Harmons there. Again, conceptual drawings of what that building could look like. And who knows, maybe this year we'll break ground. I don't know. We're trying to figure that out. We're trying to figure that out. God could do that, couldn't he? Just so you know, our Roots goal was $1.5 million. Over the last 3 years, you guys haven't given just $500,000. Again, through the worst recession that we've ever had in the history of our country, these 3 years is when we chose to do our fundraiser. Okay, bad timing, but God says, you know what, I'll take care of it. So you didn't just give $500,000, you just didn't give a million. Again, up to this point, you've given $1.39 million. Yes, above and beyond. That's above and beyond. So you remember we started 11 years ago in my living room with two couples, and now we got a congregation that gives $1.4 million above and beyond their giving in a 36-month period. It's pretty fantastic. It's pretty amazing. And God wants to use that. So hopefully we'll pay that land off and get a building started on that land as soon as possible. Let's quickly go to the future. We're excited about the future. Are you guys excited about the future? Do you believe God has good things in store for you? I hope you do. If you don't, then I'm going to have faith for you because he does. I believe he does. I'm just going to read you. You want to hear my quiet time I had 2 days ago? Just a verse real quick. I think this will be my 2012 verse, actually. I love it. It's in Genesis chapter 13. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring. That's the verse I'm going to trust God for. Not just land, I'm talking about souls. I'm talking about Utah. Everywhere I look when I pray, I like to get up on a high hill and just look over the whole valley. I lift up my hands and I say, God, I claim this valley is yours. I claim it for you in your name, Jesus. This is your, and I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. I want our church to be a part of it. And I'm believing that again for this year, that we'll get more of that this year. So we're excited about the future. Jesus had one command, go and reach the nations. That was his command. Again, he didn't say a lot else as far as future. Go reach the world. Go reach the world. That's what he told us to do. Matthew 28, that's the Great Commission. And I believe if we can have an impact, especially on this state, here's my little phrase. If we win Utah, I believe we'll reach the world. And think about it for a second. If we win Utah, if Utah is transitioned, if Utah is transformed into a historic Christian state, the world will hear about it. There's no doubt about it. The world will hear about that. And we'll reach the world. It'll be worldwide news when Utah is transformed. And I believe God wants us to be a part of it. That's where we're headed. So God will do amazing things. We've seen that God has done, is doing, and he will do. Here's just a few highlights coming up that you should be aware of. We're going to finish our Colossians series after we're done with this three-part series. We'll pick that up at the end of January here. Going to take an Israeli pilgrimage. We're going to take a tour of Israel March 11th through 12th, 21st. I'm taking 18 people from the Rock. We're going to have a little conference over in the Holy Land in Israel, which I'm really looking forward to. Leadership Overnighter coming up. Mark your calendars. Leaders, February 10th and 11th, your small group leader, house church leader, mark your calendars. There's going to be a lot going on. There's already stuff on the calendar as far as the Rock music, bands, and outreach. There's always stuff going on. And God uses, we've been blessed with musicians. And God says he says, if you've been given much, much will be expected. So if you're a musician, know that God expects you to be using your gift, and you are, through the Rock music, to bless and to reach people. So this year, let's do that even more. There's stuff coming up. All Church Campout, July 13th through 15th. Again, you might want to jot these dates down. If you're wanting to know, All Church Campout, we bumped it back. We tried it earlier. Last year, we had to cancel it because there was still 2 foot of snow up there. So we bumped it back into July, and I'm sure the snow will be melted by then. If there is snow. That's right. We haven't had snow this year. Volunteer picnic. The summer. Again, high school leadership training will be back in Utah. Freedom Festival down in Provo. That's going to happen again this year. Hopefully pay off our land, start a building, just do it down in Provo. Honduras, possible. Romania, short-term missions. We might do that again this year in Honduras. But Romania is a new work that there's a team that's getting formed here at The Rock that is considering going out to Romania and planting a church or help plant a church or do whatever God wants. So you can be praying about that. You might be a part of a short-term mission trip to go feel it out in Romania as part of the Great Commission Europe team, okay? Community outreach, got lots of things going on, National Day of Prayer, concerts. I think that our bands are going to possibly lead the worship 2012 on the Capitol lawn this year. I think we got asked to do that, so The Rock will be leading that. Faith Walkers, again, at the end of the year. I love this quote by C.T. Studd. We look ahead. Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Hallelujah. Don't you love that guy? He is a stud. C.T. Studd, man. That's what we want. That's our heart. When we look to the future, we want to run a rescue shop. We want to stand at the gates of hell and direct traffic the other way. There's a better way. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. So, what I want to just encourage you with as we plan ahead, that's the name of the message, planning ahead. You and I, we need to live out this mission to one life at a time, one world in our lifetime, our mission to win, build, send. We need to live it out. You need to take personal ownership, not just corporately as a church, but personally say, that's my job, to win my friends, to bring them to church, to see them saved, to see them built up, to see them sent out. That's my job, to win, build, and send. Be a good steward of your personal finances over the next couple weeks. We'll talk more about that. That's so important for us, especially as we've taken on more responsibilities. We want to stretch out. We want to reach out. It takes resources. It just does. But God's faithful. Amen. I want us to remember as we start the next 2 weeks on finances, stewardship is about eternity and not about expenses. You need to be a good steward of your finances. We all do. And as we are all faithful, God will provide everything that we need. Amen. And be joyful. As we plan ahead, be joyful, be thankful, be praying, and apply faith like I'm applying faith on Genesis chapter 13, that everything I see, all the land I see, God will give it to us. He'll give it to us. I'm going to apply faith to that. So won't you join us? That's my last thought. Won't you join us? Jeremiah 29:11, one of my life verses. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a what? And a future." God promises to give us a hope and a future. So that's where we've been, that's where we're at, and that's where we're headed. I hope you guys are excited. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have good plans for us. Lord Jesus, I'm just sensing that as I was sitting, singing tonight, as I was worshiping you, I think you laid it on my heart. There's people here that don't know you. There's people in the audience tonight. I have no doubt about that, but there's people that need to know you tonight. Like Derek was saying, choose Jesus tonight. And I just want to give people an opportunity. If that's you, if you don't know for sure tonight that 100% that you're going to heaven, if you stood before God and he said, "Why should I let you in?" And you didn't, you wouldn't know what to say. Or you'd say something like this. You'd say, I'm a pretty good person. I've never killed anybody. I've tried my best. If that's your answer, then that's the wrong answer. I just got to be honest with you. You're headed to hell, most likely. I mean, I don't know your heart, but if that's your answer, then you don't understand the grace of God. You don't understand what Jesus did for you. And with your heads bowed here, I just want to share with you that God loved you so much that he sent his son into this world to pay for your sins. So your sins, your lying, your stealing, your vulgar mouth, your dishonoring your parents, all those sins have separated you from God and are going to land you in hell. You deserve hell because of those sins, the Bible says. But God loved you so much, he didn't want you to have to go to hell. You don't have to. You can change it tonight. God's already done the work for you. He loved you so much that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish in hell but have eternal life. Why not that? Let that be you tonight as we start 2012. If you don't know you're going to heaven, if you don't know you're a believer, you don't know you're a born-again Christian, because you've never made that choice, you've never humbled yourself before God, then why not do it tonight? You can. You can tell God in your heart. You can say, "God, I know I've sinned against you. I know I deserve hell. I know there's nothing good in me. I kid myself, God, but I know I have sinned. I've lied. I've stolen. I've done all that. I've had bad thoughts. God, and I deserve hell. But I'm hearing tonight that I can repent of my sins. I can turn away. And I can embrace Christ. I can trust Christ. And I'm going to do that by faith right now, God. I trust you, Jesus, that you did a good job dying on the cross for my sins. I trust, God, that by placing my faith in you, my eternal trust in you, that I'll be in heaven because you promised to forgive my sins. And I receive that with gladness and with joy and thanksgiving tonight. For the first time, I receive that gift. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You can have it tonight. It's yours for the asking. But if you don't ask, if you walk out of here without it and you die, the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life, and God's wrath remains on him. By not choosing, you've rejected. That's a foolish thing to do. Choose Christ tonight. Why would you die in your sins? Choose him right now. Humble yourself. Say, "Christ, come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I turn away from my sins and I embrace you, Jesus, for dying for my sins to forgive me. I receive that gift."
For more resources and to support the ministries of The Rock Church, visit us at experiencetherock.com.